A lot of people find their sense of the sacred in nature. So many, in fact, that sociologist Bron Taylor believes we're witnessing the birth of what he calls dark green religion. From radical environmental activists to New Age eco-psychologists to modern pagans and even mystically minded scientists, evidence of the rise of green religion is all around. Taylor told Steve Paulson it's a movement that may one day replace traditional religions.
Dark green religion is my own term for nature-based spiritualities that are spreading rapidly, largely outside traditional religious institutions, and that I think are becoming increasingly influential around the world. It's characterized by beliefs and practices in which nature itself is considered sacred and worthy of reverent care.
Now, why do you use the word dark in your description of this kind of spirituality?
Well, by dark, on the one hand, I mean a kind of deeper shade of green, because it's based on a felt kinship with all of the rest of life. This, in turn, has affinity with a Darwinian understanding that all forms of life should be considered kin, because they've all come to be the way they are through the same evolutionary processes. So, for example, all life shares a common ancestor, which now DNA analysis has confirmed, and therefore all life is quite literally related. But it need not involve what a lot of people think is essential to religion, which is belief in non-material divine beings or spirits. Certainly, some people who are involved in dark green religion have animistic perceptions, and they see the natural world as inspirited, as full of spiritual intelligence. They may also be Gaian in their approach, sort of viewing the earth as a goddess in some ways, as even having its own superordinate divine intelligence.
You mentioned that one of the strains in dark green religion is, I guess, what we would call animism, the idea that there are spirits in nature, or perhaps that other beings, whether they're animals or maybe even trees, have souls.
Right. I think one of the interesting things about using the term animism is that, on the one hand, by it I mean perceptions that there are spiritual intelligences or life forces that animate natural entities and living things. But there are also very interesting scientists, ethologists, people who study animal consciousness and behavior, who also have what I call a kind of naturalistic animism.
Well, you mentioned Jane Goodall. You say she is probably the world's foremost animist missionary, Jane Goodall, who pioneered the study of chimpanzees and has written quite explicitly about a few, well, you'd have to call them mystical encounters with chimpanzees, you know, sort of staring in their eyes and having some incredible moment of communication.
You know, one of the things I enjoyed talking about a great deal in the book is what I musingly call eye-to-eye epiphanies. And Jane Goodall is certainly not the only one who has felt a deep sense of connection and even communion with non-human beings through eye-to-eye contact. It's interesting. There are many, many scientists who have these sorts of feelings, and having the privilege of talking to many of them, some of whom won't go on the record because they don't want to break the scientific taboo about mixing spirituality and values with their science. But many people feel, who are in the sciences, feel a deep sense of awe and wonder at the mysteries of the universe, and they really can't help themselves but to speak of the miracle of life and to use other terminology normally reserved for religion to describe what they most care about and feel.
So it raises the question of whether a scientific understanding of awe and wonder or appreciation of awe and wonder is really the same as a religious feeling of awe and wonder.
Well, there's a great question. And certainly folks who have looked at where does consciousness in general come from and where does religious consciousness in particular come from. It's not uncommon for anthropologists and other scientists looking at that sort of question to suggest that it has its genesis precisely in that sense of awe and wonder at the mysteries of the universe that surround us, but also at a deep perception of our absolute dependence on nature as the source of our being, existence, and happiness. Now, that terminology that I just used, this sense of absolute dependence, was what the theologian Paul Tillich used to say that's ultimately what religion is all about, that feeling of absolute dependence.
Well, coming back to these secular scientists who are using religious language, it seems like this is a phenomenon that's really taken off, especially in the last 10 or 20 years. And I guess I'm wondering why. Why now?
Well, I think it's in part a reaction to the power of the religious right. And people who don't find compelling worldviews where the sacred is somehow above and beyond the world and do not like the kinds of politics that have often flowed from such a worldview are saying, you know, what we feel and think most deeply matters too.
You're suggesting that as science, as the scientific insights into nature become more accepted, traditional religions like Christianity might start to lose ground and more people will become, I suppose you could say, practitioners of dark green religion.
Well, I think that's exactly what I'm saying. One of the things that has happened in religious studies in the last couple decades is that a lot of people have said, oh, the secularization thesis is dead. The problem with that argument is that it takes a very small slice of time and says, well, look at the conservative religious resurgence. It's in no way surprising that in the wake of the Darwinian Revolution, that a lot of traditionally religious people would be in deep and fervent reaction to that and everything that goes with it.
Play this out for me a little bit. Speculate how far this might go in the coming 100 years or 200 years. I mean, how might nature be turned into a religion?
Well, I think it's already in process, to be honest with you. If we think 3,000 years forward or 5,000 years forward, and we think about how long it took for what we understand today to be the so-called world religions to gain traction and many adherents around the world, what are the sorts of religions that you think are going to be predominant 300 or 3,000 or 5,000 years from now? I think we're going to see absolutely huge gestalt changes in people's worldviews and corresponding ethical beliefs and practices that will take much less time to spread globally. And even though the conventional religions still have more adherents around the world than those that I would say are engaged in dark green religion, relentlessly, in my view, wherever people are well-educated, they're more likely to be turning to post-supernaturalistic forms of spirituality, if you will.
And they still want some sense of the sacred.
Of course. And human beings are meaning-seeking creatures. We are conscious beings who want to make sense of our experience. And the thing about dark green religion is it is sensory. It's based on our five senses and the gadgets we use to amplify them. If we are moved by what is found through the sciences, for that we don't need the seer from some 2,000 years ago or a more recent religious guru of some sort. We just need to rely on our senses and what others in our species have learned through their own.
So what are some of the practical implications of this? I mean, suppose you're right and some more traditional religious views start to lose ground and this nature spirituality takes root more. What kind of new moral system will result?
Well, let me give you a quote from Charles Darwin, which hints at what I'm talking about. If we choose to let conjecture run wild, then animals, our fellow brethren in pain, diseases, death, suffering, and famine, our slaves in the most laborious works, our companions in our amusements, they may partake of our origin in one common ancestor. We may all be netted together. So here you have an ecological understanding of interconnection. And one of the other gifts that Darwin gave us was an understanding that all living things came to be the way they are through the same struggle for existence. What we're seeing in dark green religion is a deep sense of the sacredness of life focused on the preservation of the planet's biological diversity. And I think we can also, whether we have a sense of there being some sort of divine intelligence behind it all or not, we know that there's very little life in the universe, possibly no life elsewhere than on this planet. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I think about how absolutely precious life is here on Earth. And then I think, what an amazing gift, what an amazing privilege to be an organism on this planet and to have the opportunity to engage in the struggle for existence.
Bron Taylor is a professor of religion and nature at the University of Florida, and he's the author of Dark Green Religion, Nature, Spirituality, and the Planetary Future. He spoke with Steve Paulson.